There's a separate mitzvah of Biyom HaShmini, and that specifically verses on the father. And so Mila Bismana was Docha Shabbos, and Suffolk, when the birth was, so you can't mal the child on the eighth day from the Suffolk, because maybe it's only the seventh day. You surely can't be Machal Shabbos for that. So if a child was born on Friday afternoon, Bein HaShmoshos, and there are a lot of different shitas what's considered Bein HaShmoshos, from anywhere between 17 minutes and about 40 minutes after Shkia, there are different shitas that it's still Bein HaShmoshos. After 40 minutes, I don't think there's anybody who holds, especially here in Eretz Yisrael. The Chutz Laaretz is different. But here in Eretz Yisrael, for sure, 40 minutes after Shkia is Vade Laila. And before 17 minutes is Vada Yom.
What, 13 and a half?
Before 17, it's not after 40.
Is Shita 13 and a half? Is that
13 and a half? I don't have here.
What? Where the father holds to the Chumrah?
That's a Chumrah. What? If he holds a Chumrah, it's a Chumrah. If he holds it's Halacha, it's a different story. But here in Eretz Yisrael, nobody holds it, Rabbeinu Tam is Halacha. It's a Chumrah. Here in Eretz Yisrael, Pashas, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't apply. Then anything to Rabbeinu Tam is Bein HaShmoshes. It's a Suffolk. Okay, so what's it called? I think that who do I have over here? Rav Shlomo Zalman held the 28 minutes is already Vade Laila. Rav Eliyoshev held 32 minutes is Vade Laila. And again, there's different shitas from 17 minutes till 40 minutes. Okay. So a child who was born Bein HaShmoshes Friday, you don't give a bris till Sunday. If Sunday is a Yontif, then you don't give the bris till Monday. And if 2 days Yontif of Rosh Hashanah, then you give the bris till Tuesday. Okay. There's an inyan of Zriza Makdim in the mitzvahs, and there's two kinds of Zrizas. There's relative Zrizas and absolute Zrizas. Absolute Zrizas, in order to be Yotzei and not Mevakel, the inyan of Zrizas, as long as the bris is done by Boker, before Chatzos, you're considered Zoris. Now, any time before that, the earlier the better. But since it's only relative and you're still Mekayim Zrizas till Chatzos, there, if you want to wait for more people to come or whatever, or it's not convenient, so immediately after davening, Pashas davening comes first because of Tadir Fisheno Tadir, and immediately after davening, there's an inyan of being Mizaris as much as you can, but there, other Cheshbonos can take precedence. However, where, no questions. You're going to mevatel the zrizus completely. Even if you'll do the mitzvah lechora more behidr, lechora there's often a gemara that hidr or barov am hadras melech doesn't take precedence of the zrizus. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I think it's lamed dalet or lamed hay. The gemara over there says like this, that shofar you blow in musaf. And halal you say in shachris. So Gemara says manavshach. If the ikar is reason makdim lemitzvahs, so you should blow shofar in shachris too. And if the ikar is barov am hadras melech, because even then there are more people in shul at musaf than shachris. So that's why you wait till musaf for kia shofar, because barov am hadras melech, then halal also should wait till musaf. So Gemara says no. Really, mikra adin zrizus comes first. And both of them should be b'shachris. Except since there was a special gzeres hamalchus by shofar, either that they thought they were blowing shofar and coming to war, and they attacked them, or they sent shluchim to mevakel kia shofar, and they only stayed around till after shachris, and musaf lay left already, so they could blow shofar and musaf. What do you see from there? The Gemara says b'feirish, that if it's a shaila of Zrizim Akdim Lemitzvahs, or Barov Am Hadras Melech, Zrizim Akdim Lemitzvahs comes first. So therefore, people who wait to have a bris in the afternoon, because more people will be there, Lechoris can negate this Gemara. There are those that hold that the Gemara is only talking where it's a Sofik. If it's a Vada, you could wait till later. also it seems to be Soser a another Shaila. There's a Machlokas Achronim by Kiddush Levana. If you're a Mekadosh Levana during the week, after 3 days, according to those shitas that hold Alpi Halacha, that you can Mekadosh after 3 days on the Molad, or you wait till Motzei Shabbos to do it Behidr. And it's Machlokas Aposkin. Okay, the Ramah holds that you can wait till Motzei Shabbos, the Gra holds that you do it right away. But according to the Ramah, Lechora, that you can wait, because Hidr Mitzvah you can wait, and Bimavatl Zrizis, Lechora is Kenegadat Gemara. So I want to say there's a very big difference between Barov Am Hadras Melech and Zriz and Hidr Mitzvah. Hidr Mitzvah, there's a Shaila whether Hidr Mitzvah is a chalik of every Mitzvah, or it's a separate thing by itself. Right, Zekeli van Dehu. It's Pshat and Zekeli van Dehu. Every mitzvah has a prat of Hidr in it. It's a chelik of the mitzvah itself. Or no, it's a separate mitzvah of Zekeli van Dehu. When you're doing a mitzvah, you can become another mitzvah of Zekeli van Dehu. But it's not a prat in the mitzvah itself. The machlokes, whether Zrizus takes precedence over Hidr mitzvah, is totally in that shayla. Right, if Hidr mitzvah is a separate mitzvah, but Zrizus for sure is a chelik in the mitzvah itself. Doing a mitzvah, but Zrizus is a chelik in the mitzvah itself. So where you have a mitzvah that's chal, okay, you could do it b'Zrizus, or you could wait till later and then have two mitzvahs. One mitzvah less, because you don't have Zrizus, and another mitzvah of what's it called, of Hidr. So if it's two separate mitzvahs of Yosef Engel, brings Raya's a different inyan, that where the Shaila is doing one mitzvah be'echus better, or two mitzvahs that aren't so much be'echus, the one mitzvah be'echus takes precedence over the two shalom be'echus. So here, if Hidr mitzvah is a separate mitzvah in itself, it's not a chelik of the mitzvah itself, so then Zrizus takes precedence over Hidr mitzvah. But if Hidr mitzvah is a chelik of the mitzvah itself, then there's a svara to say that the Zrizus is a start till the mitzvah is chal completely. And since the mitzvah wasn't chal completely, because Hidr is a chelik of that mitzvah, so you wait till the Hidr is chal. But Barov Am Hadras Melech is not a Hidr in the mitzvah, it's a Hidr in the Melech. Barov Am Hadras Melech, it doesn't say Barov Am Hadras Mitzvah. So that's just for sure a separate mitzvah. So everybody would agree when it's a separate mitzvah that you do the Zrizus first. So it's no stira to that Gemara. In any case, but there are still those that hold, mostly Svardim, that you can make a bris l'chatchila in the afternoon if more people will come. But if it's a shayla of Hidr mitzvah, there is a different story. In other words, you have a better moel who will do the mila the more behidr. Or, I don't know, maybe a better sandik. I don't know if that goes into Hidr mitzvah or not. But a better moel for sure. It's Hidr mitzvah. There it could be you could delay the bris till the afternoon. Okay. In any case, but l'chatchila, for sure, it should be in the morning. A child who's sick. So it depends. If the sickness is chola kol gufo, so then there's a special halachal moshe misinai that you have to wait 7 days. Meis la'eis, and you can do the bris immediately after 7 days meis la'eis, which you can't do before that. So what's considered chola kol gufo? If the child had an infection, right, and he had to take antibiotics, that's chola kol gufo. The child needed a blood transfusion. It's chola kol gufo. He has a fever over 40, I think it is, in like 102 fever. It's chola kol gufo. But if it's just tzahevet, jaundice, so there's two kinds of jaundice. There's a physiological jaundice. That's the normal kind, where the numbers don't go up very, very high. And it's just, it's not a machala. It's just that the bilirubin didn't yotzi from the blood. That, as soon as when the numbers are higher, so and the boy baby looks yellow, right? So then you're not mal him because the suffix sakana. But the mice, it's not called a machla, and you, as soon as it goes away, you can mal the child. But there's also called pathological jaundice, and that is a machla. That usually is when the numbers are very, very high, and then you have to wait from the time that it goes down 7 days, meis la'eis, before you can mal the child. And same thing goes with a fever, with an infection, or whatever. However, even with an infection, usually the baby takes antibiotics, or they give the baby antibiotics in the blood. And usually antibiotics is a 10-day thing. You'll give antibiotics for 10 days, even though the child doesn't need it for 10 days. Could be the infection's over 7 days, but you keep giving the antibiotics because you don't want the antibodies to gain a resistance. So you always finish the program of the antibiotics. But as soon as the baby really is okay, and you're just giving the antibiotics to not build up a resistance, there you count the 7 days from when the baby is okay, not when you stop the antibiotics. Okay. What else? Okay, there's a mitzvah on the father to mal his child. Okay, and there's a shaila whether that mitzvah you can make a shliach or not. Could be for various reasons that you can't make a shliach, machlokas haposkim, whether there's such a thing as shlichas by mila. One reason that you can't make a shliach is, or possibly, because since if the father doesn't do the mitzvah, the mitzvah is on everybody, on all Klal Yisrael. It says mitzvah Beis Din, but Pnei Yeshua says Beis Din means all of Klal Yisrael. Have a chiyuv to mal that child. So how can I be mekabel shlichas from you and do the mitzvah for you if it's my mitzvah? I'd rather do it for myself. So then there's no shlichas according to that's one svara. Another svara is that the mitzvah of the father is a mitzvah shibagufo. You have to be the father. So you're not the father. Right, so in order to have that mitzvah, you have to be the father. You could be a shliach of the father. You can't become the father. So it's a mitzvah shibagufo. There's a sheet that holds that shlichus doesn't help by what's it called by mila, and therefore some people are makbid that they shouldn't mimamana a moel or shliach, but they should do the krisa saorla at least themselves. Priya, if they're not a moel, you're not going to know how to do. But krisa saorla, they use a what's it called, a guide. And people are makbid to mal themselves to be choshish for the that there's no shlichus. However, okay, I don't let anybody who is not a moel or has not had practice in mila get their mitzvah like that. There's plenty of other mitzvahs to get. And since when I was in Miami, right away early on in my rabbonis, I had a doctor who wanted to be machmir and mal his own kid. He wasn't a surgeon, just I'm a doctor. And they had a guy, and a moel was there, and still he botched up the mila. Baruch Hashem, he botched it up that he had to cut more, not less. Okay, and they had to have another bris to take off tzitzin ha-machmir, samil, or with tzitzin she'en ha-machmir, I don't remember what it was. But the mitzayer the child completely. And a person who doesn't know how to do a bris also is extra tzar. So I never allowed anybody to do that. You want mitzvahs, there's plenty of other mitzvahs to get. Not this one. So, and then I found out when I came here that Rabbi Yashiv also, Baruch Shekivanti, does not let people be Chotech the Orla unless they're Moalim or they have some practice. Stam not, because he also, it's Sar Balichai, Sar for the kid, to somebody who doesn't know what he's doing to be Chorish the Orla. There were no hate to. There's another chumrah here. Even if you're not the moel itself, even if you hold that shlichus doesn't help, there's a svara to say that yad poel ki yad balabayis is better than shlichus. So what we normally do is that the moel is makna the kalim, the ismul, to the father, and the father then is manam a shliach with the kalim, and then he becomes a poel, not just a shliach. And it could be Yad Polk, Yad Balabayas is better than Shlichas, and it helps even where it's a mitzvah shegufo or whatever. Okay, in any case, but that could be. What else? Okay, next is using clamps. In Chutzlar, it's here, I've never seen anybody. They have clamps that go around the aver, and they minimize the blood. And they also are like a can opener, and they make sure that they go fit over the aver, so there's no chance of cutting too much. Those clamps, most poskim hold, are also to use. Either because if they're put on tightly, they stop the blood circulation, and there's no dam bris, the toughest dam bris. And even if there's dam, sometimes the dam is already out of the out of circulation, and then it's dam, dam of a chabura, it's not dam bris. So they don't allow these. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, there was a clamp that they held does not cut off the blood circulation, and there is some dam bris, but if you tighten it too much, it does. So they held it, any clamps, even if you don't tighten it, you can't use. Some Moalim Afilo don't use that butterfly guide. Right? They make the tfisa with their fingernails like it used to be done. But most, I think 99% of Moalim use that butterfly guide, and that's okay. That doesn't stop any, doesn't go around the aver. It just separates between the top of the aver and the orla, and doesn't let you cut too far. That most 99% of Moalim use it. Next thing is Metzitza Bepeh. One part, there's three parts to a bris. There's the chatichas ha'orla, and then there's the pri, where you take the skin and what's it called, peel it back, so the mokum hamila becomes uncovered. And the third thing is metzitza. The moel sucks out the blood from the mokum of the chtach, right, and that is al sakona. Right, it's dangerous just to leave the cut blood there. Usually explain it out of infections, but they didn't know about infections then. But the Chazal said, what's it called, the moel that's not motzeitz, you potter him from being a moel, you fire him, because it's sakana for the child. Now, about 120 years ago, something like that, at the end of the 1800s, there was a star at Scheil in Germany, that they discovered the idea of infection, right? What's it called? Lister, using what's it called? What are the things called when you put alcohol or whatever to sterilize kalim, right? And take away germs, bacteria, whatever it is that causes infection. So they said that the most bacteria is the worst place in the body is the mouth. So putting the mouth on the aver of a fresh cut is sakana to the child. Just the opposite. Chazal said the sakana is if you don't do it. And here they said, what's it called? It's not sterile. So even though the moel washes his mouth out with liquor, strong liquor, which usually that alcohol also sterilizes his mouth, the Maisa, they were those who were misnagged to it because of infection, and they said that you should do it not with mouth to aver contact, but either through a pipette, right, a glass pipe, or a rubber tubing, or with a suction cup. So some were against the suction cup because it doesn't have the same suction as when you suck something. But the mice with the pipette, or with the what's it called, with the rubber tubing, that's the same exact suction. So most of the Litvisha poskim held that there's no halacha; it has to be metzitza bepeh. Just have to draw the blood out, so you can do it without mamish contact. Most of the Hungarian poskim held that since this was a time when the reform were making all their reforms. And kol chodesh osur min haTorah, and if they start doing this differently than before, it's going to lead to other things. So they were misnagged to it, and this machlokas pretty much calmed down, and then was revived recently because of AIDS. Right here, there was a sakana not only to the child, because maybe the moel has AIDS. And he could be a fine Yiri Shemayim who once had a blood transfusion and got AIDS. So even if he's a frum guy, right, and also in Apitropis Larayis, you never know. So who knows? Also, the Moalim were afraid, because who knows if the baby has AIDS? Maybe the parents, you know, passed on the AIDS to the baby. Nobody knows. And the Moal sucks up the blood. He's going to get AIDS. So both mitzad the moel and mitzad the baby, this shaila came up again. Should you not maybe make metzitza bepeh unless you know for sure that the moel is healthy and the baby is healthy or not? Then compounding that, a few years ago, There was a case in New York where it's not clear what exactly happened, but there are those that claim that the moel had a herpes infection and gave it to the baby. The baby died, and the Board of Health got involved, and they wanted to aser mitzitza bepeh, and all the rabbonim and groups, aguda, whatever, got involved because they felt it was a sakana if they allow the government to start to tell us how to do bris mila. There's ain't dover sof. So it became a tremendous amount. It's still going on now, that machlokas. Lemaisa lahalacha, probably without barring all the political and stam halacha, can you make mitzitza shelo b'peh? Most poskim hold yes, especially if there's a chashash sakana to the moel or to the baby. Should you let governments make laws that prohibit it? Definitely not. How you balance those two things out is going on now. Big machlokas. Okay, that pretty much finishes Mila. Well, the next thing we have to do is just go quickly through the Seder Habris and names. We'll spend a whole shiur on what names, how to give names, or whatever, and all the inyanim with naming a baby. Okay, the rest of the time we have now, I want to speak about Tu B'Shvat from a little bit different standpoint than. Okay, I saw in the Bnei Yisoscher this first idea, and then we'll add a lot to what he says. He says that there's a kesher between Tu B'Av and Tu B'Shvat. There's machlokas in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah when the world was created. Rabbi Yeshua holds B'Nisan, and Rabbi Lezer holds B'Tishrei. And if you hold either Tishrei or Nisan, it doesn't mean that the world was created in Aleph Tishrei or Aleph Nisan. It means the world was created 6 days before, and Aleph Tishrei was Yom Briyas HaAdam, or Aleph Nisan was Yom Briyas HaAdam. So the world was really created either Chaf Hei Elul or Chaf Hei Adar. Okay. So the Bnei Yisoscher says like this, just like we find by a person who's born, Arboim Yom Kodim Yitzira Savlad, before the Yitzira of a human being, 40 days before, already in Shamayim, they're preparing for that child, right? Bas Ploni Laploni and so on. So by Brias HaOlam is the same thing. 40 days before the Bria, in Shamayim, they're already preparing. So 40 days before Chaf Hei Elul is Tu B'Av. And 40 days before Chaf Hei Adar is Tu B'Shvat. So Tu B'Shvat is the 40 days before the Yetzira of Nisan. And Tu B'Av is 40 days before the Yetzira of Tishrei. Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah says that Elu Ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that they're both right. The world was created B'Machshava in Tishrei, and was created Lamaisa in Nisan. That's what Tosfos says. B'Machshava in Tishrei, I think it's a Yural or something like that, Tosfos, in Rosh Hashanah. So Tosfos says that the world was created on what's it called, B'Machshava in Tishrei and B'Maisa in Nisan. Now what does that mean? I mean, the Maisa, the Rosh didn't create the world, Machshava and Maisa, what? So I was thinking what it means is Poshet. Say another Chazal. Chazal say, B'tchila olam b'machshava lehiboros b'midas hadin, and then the Rabbanim was Mitzarev Rachamim. So the olam ha-machshava means the Rabbanim's original intention was to create the world b'din, that is the Yetzirah of Tishrei. Before the world was created, there was no time. So the world was created on two dimensions, a dimension of din and a dimension of rachamim. And it's not that the Rabbanim changed his mind and was mishatif rachamim and the din was bottled. No, the world was created mamish on two dimensions. The Shaloh HaKadosh says, for those people who can be niskayim kulo bedin, the world was created bedin. And there's a yitzira of din, and Rabbi Akiva was on that madrega, Yaakov Avinu was on that madrega, whatever. That's why it says that what's it called, that's what the Rabban Shem said to the Malachim, Zu Torah v'zu Schara, the Rabban Shem says, Kach also b'machshava lefonai. That's the way the world should have been, kulo din, no rachamim. And that's best for a person, because then you get rachamim, then it defeats the whole purpose of Muhammad the Sufa, that you're getting help. Better you should get everything you earned, exactly what you earned. And then your olam haba is all yours. So somebody who could be niskayim like that is in the olam of din. Somebody who needs the rachamim, so he's in the olam of rachamim. So at the time of the Bria, there was no time. So the dimension of din was called the dimension of Tishrei. And the dimension of rachamim was called the dimension of Nisan. When the time was created, so the dimension of din went to the time zone of Tishrei, and the dimension of rachamim went to the time zone of Nisan. That's why Tishrei is the opposite of what's it called of the Aleph days, Tov Shin Reish. Because whenever there's din, it's the backwards of the Aleph days. Whatever's rachamim is the order of the Aleph days. That's why Nisan is Aviv. Chodesh HaAviv is Aleph days. And Tishrei is Tov Shin Reish, is din. So the Rosh Hashanah of din is Tishrei, Yom HaDin. And the Rosh Hashanah of rachamim, Nisan, which is the Iker Pesach. And Pesach means, the Targum says, Chos, rachamim. So the Rosh Hashanah of rachamim is Nisan. And the Rosh Hashanah of din is Tishrei. Okay. Now, it's interesting that so Tu B'Shvat prepares for the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim, and therefore has to do with water. Water is a symbol of Chesed and Rachamim, and Tu B'Av has to do with fire, because they both have to do with trees. It says one of the reasons for Tu B'Av, and Tu B'Av is the Hachana for Rosh Hashanah of Din. Trees, like Tu B'Av, one of the time and why Tu B'Av is a Yontif is because that's the day they made the siyum for Krisus Eitzim Legavei Mizbeach. When they cut down the trees to the Mizbeach, they stopped on Tu B'Av. Because after that, the sun got weaker, and there could be worms in the wood. So that was the siyum, and that was the yontif. They made a siyum on Krisus Eitzim Lemizbeach. And Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. Only here, it's the trees with the, this is when the sap goes into the trees from the water, from the rainfall of this year. And that's why Tu B'Shvat is the line of demarcation between Maisris of last year and this year, Rashi says, because whatever was Nechnat before Tu B'Shvat was Nechnat from the Geshomim of last year. And whatever's Nechnat after Tu B'Shvat is from the Geshomim of this year. So Tu B'Shvat has to do with trees, more with the fruit of the trees and the water, the sap. And Tu B'Av has to do with trees, but the dried out trees that you cut down to burn on the Mizbeach. So Tu B'Av has to do with Eitzim, because Eitzim have to do with the material of the tree, wood. And Tu B'Shvat has to do with Ilanos, which has to do with the, what's it called, the fruit-bearing quality of the tree. I want to say like this. The Eitz, okay? Eitz, if you look at the, what's it called, Chazal say that Ha'odem Eitz HaSodeh, person's like a tree, okay? If you look at the word Eitz, first of all, it looks like a tree. The Ayin and the Tzadik have a bark, a root, and little leaves on the top, the Tagim, right? It looks like, mamish, like branches of a tree. The Ayin and the Tzadik look like branches of a tree. It looks like a tree. The words themselves mean Ayin Tzadik. If you take an Eitz, you read the letters, it's Ayin Tzadik. Look at the tree and you'll see a Tzadik. Right? Ayin, look. Tzadik, you'll see a tzadik. If you look at a tree, you'll know what a tzadik is. How does that work? The Maral says, why is a person compared to a tree? He says, because Lamaisa, if a person would be standing on his head, he would mamish look like a tree. Right? He'd have roots with his hair on the ground, and his arms and legs would be extended like branches, and his body's like the trunk, so he looks like a tree. But he's an upside down tree. Okay? Why? Because a person is really a right side up tree, except you got to know where the roots are. A regular tree, its roots are in the Gashmiyistika world, so its roots are down and its limbs extend upward. But a human being is rooted in the Olam HaRuchni. So we really, our root is in Shamayim, and our limbs are down here. Except since we're in a Gashmiyistika world, we have to walk on our limbs. But really, in a ruchniistic world, the root of a person is his neshama, is his head, is his seichel. So therefore, the Maral says that ha'adam eitz asah, that we're taka like trees, but we're upside down trees, because we're rooted in the ruchniistic world, and the tree is rooted in the gashmiistic world. But otherwise, we're the same. Our root faces up, and the tree's root faces down, but otherwise, we look like trees. Taking that one step further, it would seem that if we'd be in a ruchniistic world, taka, we'd be with our root down. That would mean that a person would walk on his head. And I found a few chazals that say that. That in Olam HaRuchni, people walk on their heads. Where do you find that? The following Medrash, the Medrash in Panech Raza. It says that Rivka, when she first saw Yitzchak, she fell off the camel. So the Medrash says, what was so traumatic that made her fall off the camel? It says like this. It's in Panech Raza, a Likut of Midrashim by the Balei HaTosfos, in Parshas Chayisora, on that pasuk over there. So he says like this. After the Akedah, Yitzchak Avinu Mamish died, when Avram put the knife to his throat, his Porcha Nishmasa, he died. And there was Trias HaMesim. And that's when the Malachim said, Baruch Atah Hashem Chai HaMesim, that we say in Shemone Esrei. And he needed to be shikum, so rehabilitated. So he went to Gan Eden for 2 years. 2 years he spent in Gan Eden. At the end of those 2 years is when, what's it called, when Rivka saw him the first time, he was coming out of Gan Eden. And it says, Biyadua, that the people in Gan Eden walk on their head. And Yitzchak Avinu was still walking on his head. So when Rivka saw her chosen the first time, she saw him walking on her head. She fell off the camel. Somebody told me, because she wanted to get on her head too, to be a nice kala, to be the same way. Right? So she wanted to get on her head. In any case, so it says Beferish there, that in Olam HaEmes, in Olam HaElyon, people walk on their head. Another place where you see that is the Gemara over there, of Elyonim Lamala, Elyonim Lamata, V'tachtonim Lamala. Some say that's what it means. That he saw in the Olam HaEmes that people were, their head was down and their feet were up. And there's a chassidish thing of regular mala to make somersaults or whatever is a ruchniistic way of, I want to tell you that that's why whenever we want to maintain a ruchniistic posture, so we cover our head and take off our shoes. An oval wants to get closer to the neshama, or Yom Kippur, take off your shoes, cover your head. Chalitza, take off the guy's shoes. Why? Because a tree, the roots are covered, the limbs are uncovered. So normally, because we live in a physical world, we cover our feet and we leave our head uncovered. But when you want to show that really, right, this is your root, this is not the limb, this is the part that really is the ikar, it's rooted in Shamayim, you cover it to show that that's the root, and you uncover your feet to show that the limbs are uncovered. And that's why it says there's a time of year when adarava, even in our shoes, we're nice. Mayofu pamayich bana olim bas nadiv, the Gemara says in Chagiga, kisha olim aliyah l'regel, right? Then we're mayofu pamayich bana olim bas nadiv, kisha olim aliyah regel. In the shoes, we're still yofe. Bas, what's it called? Bas nadiv, bas bito shel Avram, shayorot shel gerim. What's the pshat? Normally, the gashmius is gashmius, and the ruchnius is ruchnius. So we bedavka cover our head to show that that's the root, and uncover our feet. But shalosh regalim, when aliyah l'regel means literally aliyah l'regel, we take the regel, the limb, and we make it into ruchnius. Achila, shtiyas, all becomes a mitzvah, right? Mitzvah simchas yontem. So Nela, even with the shoes on, we're yothim. Where do we get that koach to turn gashmius into ruchnius? From Avram Avinu, who was the Tchil Sagerim. He turned his body from a goy into a yid. That's the ultimate turning gashmius into ruchnius. Okay, in any case. So that is, if you look at a tree and you see what the ikar is and you see what the toffel is, what's the limb and what's the root, and you look at a person and you see that his head is the, what's it called, the root, and his limbs are down, you understand that we're rooted in Shamayim. So you know what a tzaddik is. A tzaddik is somebody who's rooted in Shamayim. So what do we do in order to prepare for the din of Rosh Hashanah, which is the din of the, what's it called, the Rosh Hashanah of din. You take a tree, which symbolizes a person, and you, the only way a person could be zochah by din is if he totally is mevatel himself to the Rabbanu Shalom. Because if you try to assert yourself, nobody mi yiske badin. So you have to mevatel yourself to the Rabbanu Shalom. So what do? You take a person and you chop him up into pieces and put him on the mizbeach and burn him on the mizbeach. That's the hachana to be zochah b'Rosh Hashanah shel din. Take a person, the H, which represents the person, chop it up, burn it totally on the mizbeach, totally negate it to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. That's the way to be zochah b'din. So Tu Ba'av, which is the siyum of Krisas Eitzim, the mizbeach, is the hachana for the Rosh Hashanah of 40 days before the Rosh Hashanah of din. How about Tu B'Shvat? Tu B'Shvat, we're dealing with Ilanos. So something hit me very interesting about an Ilan. Ilan is Aleph Yud Lamed Nun. Take the Aleph and put it on the side. What are you left with? Yud Lamed Nun. Add them together. What letter do you get? Yud is 10, Lamed is 30, is 40, Nun is 50, is 90, is Tzaddik. Now put the Aleph back. What do you have? Eights. On the Aleph Tzaddik. Not Ayin Tzaddik. Now you have an Eights. Yud Lamed Nun becomes Tzaddik. And the Aleph, put it together. It's also the word Eights, except it's spelled with an Aleph, not with an Ayin. Aleph means to learn. Aleph Bina. Yolif in Aramaic. So Aleph Tzaddik, just like Ayin Tzaddik means look at the tree and you'll see a Tzaddik, Aleph Tzaddik means learn about the tree and you'll see what a Tzaddik is. So the fruit bearing quality of the tree, the Ilan, if you learn about the fruit, you'll understand what a Tzaddik is. How does that work? There's a Medrash that says that Avraham Avinu, before Lech Lecha, so he came to Eretz Yisrael and he saw people planting and plowing and harvesting, and he said, Rabbanu Shalom, this is where I want to live. He went to Chutz Laretz and he saw people eating, drinking and partying, and he said, this is not where I want to live. What's the idea? The Meiri says that Olam Haba is the pre of Olam Hazeh. It's not two different worlds. Here you plant the seeds and there you reap the fruit, just like a tree. You plant it, you fertilize it, you prune it, you do a whole lot of work, and you benefit with the fruit at the end. That's Olam Haba. In Olam Hazeh, you put in the work, and the fruit is in Olam Haba. Okay, that's Eretz Yisrael Dika Hashkafa. Even the Goyim, right, are willing to put in work now for the future. So their future is the fruit on the tree. But Avram knew if we'll come to Eretz Yisrael, it'll be conducive to a Hashkafa of put in work now for the future, not immediately enjoying yourself now. Chutz Laretz is the opposite. The hashpa of Chutz Laretz is eat, drink, and be merry. Immediate gratification. Don't put in any work now for later. Enjoy yourself now. So the whole idea of fruit, peiros, is a symbol of Olam Haba Dika existence. Put in work now. Now's not the place necessarily to enjoy. Now's the place to work. Hayom lasoso mamacher lekabel scharim schar mitzvah yal malekum. So the idea of fruit, right, is the idea of an olam haba dika hashkafa. That's the, if you learn about the fruit, so you learn what a tzaddik is. The Torah mitzvahs in the fruit to bring this lesson home. What are those mitzvahs? The first is the rachis, bikurim, truma, right? The rachis, truma is also called rachis. Rashis to Gon. Give the first to the Rabbanu Shalom. Take the first fruit and give it to the Rabbanu Shalom. That sets the pattern for everything else. You know that the fruit is Kodesh, represents Kedusha, represents Olam Haba, represents Ruchnias. So by taking the first of it and being Makdish it to the Kohen, to whatever, you know that it's an Indian of Kedusha. Then there's a mitzvah of Maisa Rishon. Right? So that is take the tenth. The tenth is the Siyum of something. You start with one, ten unites all the things into one achdus. So ten is like the sof, the tachlis. So first take the rachis and be makdish at Lashem, and then take the asiri, maiserishon, be makdish that also Lashem. So you have the beginning and the end are muktish Lashem, and that way everything in the middle you use for kedusha. Then there's a mitzvah of maiser sheni. Maaser Sheni is, once you have the right hashkafa, your makdish, the beginnings and the end to the Rabbanu Shalom. Now you have to know how to use it properly. So the Maisa Sheni is Laman Tilmad L'Yiras Hashem Elokecha. You bring it to Yerushalayim, that's where the yeshivas are, that's where the Sanhedrin is, and you learn, Nadarabah Kimitzion Teitzei Torah, you learn Yerushalayim in Yerushalayim. So first you have to have the right Hashkafa, then you know how to apply it. That's Maisa Sheni. And finally, Maisa Ani. Maisa Ani is that you can't just worry about yourself, you have to worry about other people too. You can't just get this Hashkafas for yourself, you have to also worry that other people have the same inyan, both Gashmias and Ruchnias. If you think about it, those mitzvahs, if you take letters to represent them, they come out something very interesting. If you take a letter that represents the mitzvahs, do it Reishis, the first, right? Bikurim, Truma, and so on. What letter would represent the first? Aleph. Yeah, beginning. Aleph. Then you have mitzvahs to do with the 10th, Maisa Rishon. What letter represents the 10th? Yud. And then the mitzvah of learning how to implement all of that. That's by Maisa Sheini, Laman Tilmad, L'Yiras Hashem Elokecha. That's Lamed. Right? Limud. And then there's Maisa Ani. The Iker letter in Ani is the middle letter because Nun represents Nofil. Person who's falling, who can't support himself. So that's the Iker letter of Ani. So Maisur Ani then will be represented by a Nun. What does that spell? Aleph Yud Lamed Nun is Elon. So the Elon is the Aleph Tzaddik. If you learn about the fruit, you'll learn about a Tzaddik, because the whole Indian of Olam Haba is the fruit of Olam Hazeh. And if you take the mitzvahs that the Torah gave to bring that message home, the Reishis, the Maisur Rishon, Maisur Sheni, which is Laman Tilmat, and Maisur Ani spells out Elon. Aleph Yud Lamed Nun, those are the mitzvahs that have to do with the Peiros, that if you'll learn about the Peiros, you'll learn about, and that's the, what's it called, the Indian of the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan. Rosh Hashanah of Nisan is not to mavakli yourself to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, but Avraham, the Rabbanu Shel wants you to bring out your Peiros. He wants you to be dynamic. He'll help you. Right? That's Rachami. So therefore you prepare by preparing the fruit, by the water, and preparing for the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim, where you're going to produce your fruit. You're not mevakel yourself to the Rabbanu Shalom, just the opposite. You're now going to produce Leman Hashem with His help. So that's what's it called. That's what Tu B'Shvat accomplishes. So Tu B'Shvat is the Hachana for the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim, and Tu B'Av is the Hachana of Rosh Hashanah for Din. One has to do with Eitzim, Ayin Tzaddik, and one has to do with Elon, which is Aleph Tzaddik, and represents the mitzvahs that bring home that lesson, what the Peiros is supposed to teach you. Okay. Some